Probably feeling like Jesus feels when you adore him, when you praise him. Probably I feel like you husbands feel when your wife is so proud of you. Ramon, you got to look forward to that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What a privilege we have to be in the church, right? Amen. We're going to read a passage of a scripture. I'm going to continue maybe two more services in regard to why people leave the church. And so there's, I believe that God has put this string of things in my heart so that maybe to help my own children and to help you. Even Psalms 126, verse 5. And 6, open your Bibles to the passage there. Thank you, Lord. God is good. All right, you got it? Let's, I'm going to read these passages. Amen. 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will just help us to one more time, oh God. We need your strength. We need your mind, oh God, to be in us today as we visit, Lord, the realm of the Spirit. The realm, oh God, that you have assigned for us this day. I pray that you will bless us, open our understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. One of the things that perhaps the farmers will appreciate during this time of the season is the fact that they can harvest. Amen. So harvest is a time of joy and gladness. Amen. And I appreciate that because God has also the same thing and same thing in mind. Excuse me. If you read about Jesus, he came to sow the seed, but he also is going to come back to reap the harvest. And that's where we are involved in. That's where we belong. That's where, so I believe that he had in mind a harvest. He didn't just come to die for us and that we will have no dimension of the supernatural in a heaven or paradise or anything like that. So we do know that God had something in mind and he tried to tell his people, amen. And I've been sharing with you from the book of Matthew chapter 13. Amen. What God thinks about this thing, about the seed, about different parables that he presented to us. And just to help us understand, if it doesn't go one way, maybe the other way will go. Right? So a parable is just enticing us to find the place where we best belong to. Amen. So when you speak of fishermen, they're going to relate to fish. And so but from the very first time God called Moses to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt, his intention was to remove them from slavery into freedom and to take him to the promised land to possess it. That was the goal, to possess it. Amen. So when God delivers us from something, it's because he wants to take us somewhere to possess that. I think it's wrong for us to be delivered from anything and not have a purpose for our deliverance. And so I want to bring to you one of the aspects that I share with you, that sometimes when people don't have an altar in the church, they will leave. They will abandon it. If there was a little altar, they will abandon that altar and they will search for something else. So we spoke about that last week. But this week I want to bring to you another aspect that is important to understand when people leave the church. And I been here 17 years and I've seen that happen. And so, but I want to entice you. I want to put in your mind that when you leave the church, there is a reason for that. There is a purpose for you being in the church. And so we need to discover that. So no field and no seed will cause you to leave the church. Because you have no place to plant. That's the field. And also you don't have no seed to plant. How are you going to survive if you're a farmer and you can't plant the seed? And how are you going to plant the seed if you don't have a field, right? So it kind of goes together. You have to have a field and you also have to have the seed. And Jesus spoke of that in Matthew 13. And he was relating to the fact that a good soil is a good place to put a seed. And so each one of us need to find the soil where we can place the seed. And you might think, I'm not a farmer. But you are an individual that is capable of putting the seed. And yesterday I was speaking with a friend in regard to giving. And I said, I am very grateful that I can give out of the abundance of my life. And truly that is right. And but I noticed that he wasn't with me about this thing about giving. You know, it was kind of connected, you know. He had the means to do it and all of that. But I didn't feel the way I was connecting to him about that aspect. So I said that I was willing to start giving away some of my wealth. Just give it away. It takes time to accumulate wealth, right? You put away a certain amount of money and it becomes, it compounds. You keep pushing and it keeps getting bigger. Amen. So, but I chose to maybe not compound that fast, but to be able to give it away. Now, the Lord said something significant. If you want to have treasures in heaven, he told the rich man who was faithful to God, who obeyed the law, he honored his mother and his father. He did all of the things that the law required, the moral part of man. He said, "What do I lack?" And he was blessed. And the Lord touched his heart. He said, "I want you to take everything that you have and give it to the poor." Now that's a very hard thing to do. If any one of you have accumulated any amount of wealth, and the Lord will say to you, go ahead and give it away. Number one, you need to find out who you're going to give it to. He said, who is my neighbor, right? Well, who is my neighbor? Who is the poor? Now, most of us that are sitting in this very place, there are none of us are poor. You can say maybe you are, but I don't think you are. Okay, because number one, you are here in the church. You have friends. You have a God that loves you. You have a lot of things going on for you. Because we always associate being poor with money. Right? That's the greatest fallacy about place upon our lives. Because Jesus said, it's not riches that's going to take you to heaven. In fact, riches might be a hindrance to you going to heaven. And it's not, heaven is not just for the poor. So because if that was the case, everybody will be poor, right? In the church, you'll be so anemic, pale, and deprived of nutrition. And I mean, you'll be in rags. If that was the goal of Jesus, to say, if you're so poor, you will have the kingdom of heaven. But he gave us something significant in our lives, and that is the ability to understand God, that he will provide for you. He will provide for the nurturing of you, your intelligence, your Your life will be provided for you. He said that you will have raiment and food, two elements that are significant for all of us. So I don't want you to miss the boat about this, because we only have two more things about that God has given me to the church. Because you need to understand that if there is no field, there is no seed. And we have a lot of admonition in the Word of God, in Proverbs especially, about not being lazy, right? That each one of us has been given by God a portion of land in our lives. Do you realize that? And that land might not be a physical land, but it's a spiritual land. And you can influence that land. That spiritual land that God has given you is probably your family, your children, your grandkids, and it just expands farther than that. How kind you are to them is going to be important for you, because you're going to have to be kind in prayer for them. You're going to have to nurture them. You need to encourage them. You need to be everything and to begin to dominate that field that God has given you. And so people sometimes have no harvest or have some other harvest. I'm talking about the harvest of God. So if you sow good things, you're going to harvest in abundance good things. If you sow evil things, you're going to also, of course, going to harvest in abundance what you sow. Jesus said, what you sow, you will reap. So, but there, if there is no field for you to plant the seed, then obviously you're going to gravitate for a borrowed field, for a borrowed pot, for a borrowed little parcel of land that the enemy has for you. Do you know that the enemy surrounds you and keeps you in little pots rather than a field? When Jesus spoke of humanity, he said, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are ready of harvest. Now, why did I read the book of Psalms in regard to sowing the seed? Because one of the hardest things to do, if you're ever going to have joy in your life as you get older, one of the things is you can't do this. I am convinced that, let's say you get to be 80 years of age and you become so happy and you're going to sow joy to the world, you know. You go out there and start passing out $100 bills. You go, I have so much wealth, man. I'm so happy. So I'm going to be happy. Smile. And you begin to do that. It's not going to have the same impact. Do you know when that starts? You know when you become rich? It's in the very moment that you realize that you've been giving something from God. And that you could be generous. And you begin to give away the very thing that you think is yours. You begin to trust God, that God entrusted you with that. Amen. And so I'm just thinking about, and if you look back and regress a few moments when we were looking at the pictures, right? You know, let God catch you doing good things. That's what it is. Because if you're not doing anything for nobody, most likely, there will be no pictures. Right? How many of you get a picture of surrounded by friends watching your TV? I mean, what are you going to do? Okay, what was that, you know? Or how many of you get a picture with a lottery in your hand and say, you know, great, you know, and you have a whole bunch of friends? It's going to be difficult. And I believe that if we begin to realize that God is watching everything, right? He said he beholds the good and the evil. So that should compel us to plant good things. Oh God, I wanna have good seed. I want to spread the seed. I want to spread the love in my community and my friends and all of that. And you begin to realize it's not yours to begin with. Now, what we need to understand about seed and the field and all of that, when the psalmist talking about this, is that the hardest thing to do is to plant. Do you know that? And none of us will plant in soil that's not been broken down. You don't have to be a agricultural whiz to be able to figure that out. Jesus said, if you plant a heart on the pathways, the birds are going to eat it. So you don't plant, number one, in cemented places, right? You're going to plant where things are soft. So when do we have those soft soils? When tragedy comes to our lives, right? When tragedy comes to your life, you need somebody to plant the seed of faith in your heart. Those are the moments. You're going to look for soil to plant God's word. And that's significant, very significant, because most of us would like to plant wherever. It doesn't matter. But Jesus said the results of good harvest is when it's planted in the right soil. You know why Jesus was able to invest in my life personally? It's because when he broke me down and had to take all the sin away, he needed to break that soil of my heart, to till me, to break me, and to bring me to an altar and says, you know what, I can put the seed here. And I can put the seed that will grow and mature, and it will bring other seeds in abundance. So I want to encourage you that if you're going to invest in the kingdom of God, start investing now. Now, Dave Ramsey will tell you, if you want to have a great amount of money and wealth, start investing now, right? That's what it's all about. You're a child, maybe 2 years old or 5 years old. And, you know, Josh used to be like that. He will invest. And he said, well, why did you, Josh, we gave you $20 and you give it to the missionary. You know, as a parent, you say, what child will do that? Right? But he was happy to do it because it wasn't his money, right? Somebody gave it to him and he was happy to give it away. And if you have that mindset in your heart about God, you will be happy to help people. You will be happy to give it away to the poor. You will be happy to buy a sandwich for somebody. Right? You would be. Because it's not yours. You made clear the ownership issue. So when you plant a seed, it's up to God to let it grow. So if you want any significance, if you look at anybody, it doesn't matter what it is. Good men are always remembered for the good deeds. Right? They are. We have a man that just killed a whole bunch of people in Las Vegas. And what is he going to remember for? For being compassionate and loving and kind and loving life? Is he going to be remembered like that? Not for us. And so we do need to understand that in order to sow anything, it's going to be hard. It's not pleasant. If you're going to sow kindness and goodness and mercy like Brother David spoke today about, it's not going to be because it's so easy to do it. Because you have to break the foul ground. You have to break it so that the seed can germinate and grow and produce. So praise God for that. That's, I believe, the important thing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And if you're so enamored with money, I'm telling you, you'll cry when you give it away. You will cry. Do you realize I just give it away $5? I could have bought two Doritos and a special iced coffee. Man, I mean, you just go on, right? Right? And I begin to realize in my life, I said, God, my friend is more important than me. And it's not a joyful thing. It's not, I do not find joy in giving things away. I honestly don't. You might think, well, that's, Pastor, you should. You know, you're a sinner. But I don't, because in me, in my heart, I want to keep it. I want to enjoy a good sandwich. The best things that happened in my life for somebody else was for my wife to bring me a sandwich, you know. yeah, here's your sandwich. And you know, and I just had somebody in the bus. And, oh, yeah, oh, I would love for people to do that for me. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, your wife must take a lot of you. And God says, just give it to them, man. Just. And I struggle with it for a few minutes, you know. And you might struggle about your own life, about giving. You might have a difficult time about giving because what's going to happen if you do give? Now, let me bring a few things because it's important for us to understand. So why do people leave the church? Because they don't have a field, at least not where you are, and they don't have no seed. They have a difficult time planting friendships with you. They have a difficult time investing in you because, you know, they have to till the ground. They have to do something about it. So it is impossible to serve two masters. People that have, that leave the church have a master issues. Has an identity issue. They can't identify themselves with Christ, but they can't identify themselves with Satan either. So it's kind of, you know, where do I belong, you know? So they try to discover that. Now, Jesus said something significant. The angel said, and he shall bring forth a son, in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When Jesus was born and he came to give to us, he had a purpose. He wanted to save us. Now, if you give to the poor and you have no purpose whatsoever, I think you might be sown in the wrong soil. So the purpose should be compassion, should be your ability to be diversified in your giving, you know? Don't put all in the same basket. Put it in different baskets. You never know which one is going to win. So we do know that an issue of servant of masters takes place in our lives. But I want to bring to you Joshua. And I'm going to read this so that you understand that Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A determination in his heart that I'm going to serve the Lord. Right? He said, yeah, I know there's two masters, but I'm going to choose to serve God. So very significant attitude about this man. And notice that in the core of every, in the core of our new life in Christ is the power of possession. Possession. The reason why people leave the church is the reality that they are not possessors of the promise. Because if somebody tells me, I have a promise. If somebody tells me, if you endure to the end, you will have eternal life. That's a promise. And if I become the possessor of that promise, everything about me will be to reach that promise. Right? To the end of that life. Honestly, if we become possessors, we need to possess it. Okay? Whatever it is. If it's marriage, possess it. I got a house and I want to possess it. So I'm going to pay the bills to get to the place where I can say it's mine. It will be someday mine. How many of you have your house paid? Brother Lopez, you have your house paid, right? You can say it's mine. Okay, anybody else have a house paid? No? Okay, Sister Aurora, Brother Luis, their house is paid completely. And you can say my house is mine. The rest of us is the banks. until we pay it up. Brother Matt, did you pay your house? It's really close. They just not quite yours. All right, so it's just a little hair to go, and it will be yours. So, but we need to, don't we work for that? We want to possess it, don't we? Or do you buy your house and say, oh, I'm just going to live a few months, and I'm going to take off, you know? We become possessors of what we desire. So if I want to go to heaven, I need to possess that. I need to be convinced that I'm going to heaven. And nothing is going to deter me from reaching that place. And so I believe that those are important things. So notice here, land is an insignificant thing about anything that we do. Land in which to build, to plant, to harvest, to raise our families, to work and to give. You need land to do that. And so guess what? Where you're going to invest your life if you have that purpose? You're going to spend it on your family. Right? Yes, you're going to spend with your family. You're going to nurture those moments. You're going to nurture the happiness, the joy. And also you're going to take the pain. All of us are going to have to lose our loved ones at some point, right? And my wife, it's kind of the doors of that. I lost my mother many years ago. And it's just part of life. But when a life is well lived, it's just like it's a joy. I want our church to bury me in joy. Say, oh, he was a happy guy. I'm glad he's gone. He's going to get a new pastor because we enjoy him. We're not going to be mourning about, oh, I wish we could have spent more time with him. I wish I would have got him a couple more tacos or a taco de lengua, whatever it is, or fufu. I wish I had to spend more time with pastor. It's too late. Do it now. Do it now. If you're going to spend time with your family, do it now. Let them feel the joy of being a part of something. Invest in them. Oh, hallelujah. So if you don't have a land, if you are desolate, you're not going to invest in anybody. You're not going to invest in your wife. You're not going to invest in your kids. You're not going to invest in no one because you don't value the land that God has given you. So invest in things. So the church is another issue, and that's the biggest issue. The church in which to worship, to give our tithes and offerings, to dedicate our children, to give them in marriage, to grieve their departure, forgiveness and reconciliation, fellowship, care for each other, be compassionate, celebration of salvation, and the law of moral values are upheld in the church. To be used of God in the spiritual gifts to edify the church. That's investment. So if you have the church and you're not doing any of that, guess what? You are not really a part of anything. You are not taking the land that God has given us and being able to use it. So we do need to be able to value the church. Because I kind of want to be buried, not in the church, but you know, I want my friends to be around me. The friends that I spend time with. Don't you? That's what I will make me happy. And so I know that the church is important. I would not want to marry my daughter somewhere else. I want to marry them in the church. I want them to know that God loves them. So I want to spend time in the church. So eternity is another issue out of this, the three things that we spoke, land, church, and eternity, in which is peace, no death, and no parting. Heaven is going to be beautiful. Eternity is for you and me. So we need to appreciate the land. We need to appreciate the church. I would consider the land everywhere outside your realm of the church. You're in the community. That's your land. You can dominate it or be dominated by it. Or you can be so lazy that thorns grow in the fields of your friends. Because you're not there. Do you know that if you walk in land and very rarely things will grow there? They are bad because you will perceive them and you take it out. But if you abandon the land, you're going to find that other things will grow that you don't want them to grow. I want God to be able to through me or through you to be able to affect our community to prayer. When we go to prayer for our community, we are saying, Lord, I want my land to be right. Lord, I pray for my land here in Austin. I pray for against those evil things that happen in my city. So I'm trying to subdue the land, right? Spiritually. So eternity is important. Now, on the other hand, people, a nomadic Christian, in regard to land, this is how he thinks. He will rarely plant anything. He is rather content to share the labor of others. I'm just happy somebody did it. Is happy to rent as to not be tied down in one place too long. His family looks forward to the next move. His workplace is not for him. He is not willing to give to a community because he's not a part of it. Do you realize that? That just kind of spoke very hard to me. In the church, the very same person, the nomad thinking, is he's not involved in worship as not to appear too spiritual. He does not give his tithes and offerings for fear of misusing of the Lord's money. He is content to be isolated. Friendships require commitment and fellowship. He considers forgiveness, repentance, and reconciliation as a hard and impossible task. He considers salvation, Christian living, and the power of the Holy Ghost to be suggestions and not commandments of God for our lives. The view of eternity to him is clouded by the temporal possessions. You know, I'm ready to die. And I think each one of us should be ready to die. Should some gunman will step into the church and gun every one of us down. Are we going to say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign my deed yet. I did not sign my inheritance away. Just wait a minute. I don't think so. So I believe we need to live, amen, excited about God. So those are the three things that a man that will never want to invest. And unfortunately, I want you to know that many of us have the possibilities of investing, right? Do you work for a company that will let you invest? I do. And guess what? They told me that I can have a 401k and they will match it. It's up to me to invest, right? Jesus Christ invested in us. Right, he did. He said, I'm investing in you so that you can invest in return. Because if he already invested in us, guess what he's going to do at the end of times? He's going to call us unfaithful servant. Because he said, whatever I invested in you, why didn't you give it away to somebody else? Why didn't you put it in the bank to be earned something? And I believe the mystery of that is that when Jesus gave us something, it's because we need to invest it. So if he gave us salvation, let's reach for somebody else and invest in them. Let's bring them to God. All right. Possession is everything. Would you stand with me? Possession in the heart of Israel. Say possession. Deuteronomy 10:11 says, and the Lord said unto me, arise, take the journey before the people, that they may go into a place to possess it, to possess the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give unto them. It was about possession. Do you know, Brother Lopez? It was about possession. If you and I, like me, I came to America, I wanted to possess. I wanted to possess education. I wanted to possess a good job. I wanted to possess a family. I wanted to possess things in my life. Isn't that amazing? Some of us come and we become with a nomad mind. And he said, well, I'm really not able to possess it. I don't think I could. And we go through life trying to invest in things that we can't see the future of it. Remember the young man I talked to you about? He was 50 some years of age. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, I want to settle down. I said, well, wonderful. I said, you want to settle down. And I want to have a future. I want to have a wife. I want to have a car. I want to have good things in life. I want to settle down. I said, wonderful, man, I'm with you. I said, do it. He said, but I'm not sure where. I go, there he goes. He's not sure where he wants to settle down. He's already 50 years old. And he doesn't have a car. He doesn't have children. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a house. And he said, I want to settle down. But he doesn't know where. He said, you know, I don't want to make the wrong move. I said, well, where do you want to settle down? He said, I like Texas. I said, well, then settle down in Texas. But I like Minnesota. Settle down in Minnesota. All right, I'm not talking to your heart right now. Because I believe that some of us are not really, have not settled down. We want to invest, but we don't know where. Because every bank looks cheap. Cheap bank, they will rip me off. I want you to know that the Lord had one thing in mind to the people of Israel. They say, I want you to possess it. I want you to go to the promised land and possess it. Take it over. Let it be yours. Call it my land. Amen. And the moment that we begin to call the church our church, guess what happened? You possessing the church. And you're not just being identified with this little group. You are identified with the church that is going to heaven. He said, I'm a part of the church. I want to live in the church. I want to be a part of this. I want to possess it. So possession was the key element. Notice in verse 31. For you shall pass over the Jordan to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth to you. And you shall possess it and dwell in it. You know, the greatest mystery for all of us is to possess things. Possess it. If you want education, possess it. Let's possess it. You know, you would have never accomplished any of those tiles and any of those ceramic things if you did not possess in your heart first the desire to say, I'm going to go to college. I don't know what Naphtali and Isaiah are doing right now, but if you did not go to college, you cannot say, I'm possessing my future. Your future is in your hands and you need to possess it. Mom and dad are not going to possess it for you. You have to possess that. If you want a great life for you, possess it. Live like you do. Amen. And so when I give it away, I break this hard ground. And as hard as it might be to love somebody else, you say, I want to love him because I want to possess that. I want to possess love in my heart. I just don't want to be a nomad person. I want to possess it. So God spoke of possession. And guess what the Holy Ghost is? You know, we can be in the church and never possess the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you want this living water, you come to me and I will pour on you. And I will give you the power and the anointing over your life. I want to possess you. No wonder Jesus said, I want to possess you. Because if I possess you, you are mine. And so I want you to know, when Jesus possessed me almost 40 years ago, he took over my life. He said, you're going to serve me. You're going to love me. You're going to worship me. And I'm going, why? Because God has a good interest in me. He's investing on me. When he broke me, he was investing on me. And he planted the seed of the Holy Ghost in my life. Then he made me a new creature. And I know that if I keep living, remember the David, it will be a day where there will be a lot of fruit. There will be fruit. And I want you to picture yourself having fruit in your life. The people in the church are just very close to you, but they are not the only people that are going to show up for your funeral. I want you to know that there is a greater realm out there that you can influence. And I appreciate the influence. Possession. I want you to think of possession. If I'm going to be in the church, I want the church to be mine. If I'm going to have friends in the church, I want them to be my friends. Right? They are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. They are my friends. And when I give to the church, I say, they're my, it's my church. It's my friend. I'm going to help them. Sister Tapia, would you come here? Amen. It's possession. I know you're probably feeling like, don't you feel I am possessing something, Pastor? Yeah, I think you possess one of the greatest things in life. I want my wife to share.